What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, and have your way.
Just stand with me. Worship it tonight. Want to welcome you all to the house of the Lord. It's so good to be here tonight. Let's change the key to G, and let's sing that song, I Give Myself Away. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand.
I give myself away.
give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Just sing that again. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. I give myself away so you can use me. Amen. Well, I just wanted to bring some requests to you real quick. One of our youth has been struggling real bad with some sickness here lately. Jackie Whitlock, she's been struggling with bronchitis for a while. She cannot get rid of it. And so we just want you guys to pray for her that she will be healed of that and get some relief from it. And also a very special request that we here in our assembly have been praying for is Brother Larry. He's an elder in our church. He has been struggling with cancer. And he had an operation, this past Wednesday. He was supposed to go home today, and we want you all to remember that he would just continue to get better, that the Lord would just continue to touch him, and that he would have a quick recovery from this surgery. I'd like to ask Brother Isaiah if he would come and lead us in prayer.
Bow our heads this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, Lord, thanking you for another privilege and an opportunity, Lord. Lord, what an opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come into your house once again, Lord. Lord, on this Saturday evening, Lord, it thrills my heart to see a group of young people, Lord, that, Lord, in this wicked age, Lord, there's still a group of young people, Lord, that would take a Saturday evening and come into your house this evening. Lord, and put their priorities in the right places, oh Lord. Lord, now we've come together this evening, Lord, not just for a little youth service or not just for for just a little gathering, oh Lord, but we've come this evening, Lord, to see the supernatural take place. Lord, we've come this evening into the presence of a supernatural God, Lord. Lord, and the only thing we can expect is supernatural works this evening. Now, Lord, I ask that you would just take this service, Lord. May you mold it. Lord, and you're the only one that can come down and speak to every need, Lord. Lord, you see each and every one of these young people in their hearts. Oh Lord, you see my life and my heart, Lord. Lord, I don't know the needs. Lord, Brother Nathaniel doesn't know the needs, Lord, but you know the needs, oh Lord, and you're the only one that can come and speak to every heart. Lord, and I ask that you, Lord, as we create an atmosphere, Lord, we make you welcome this evening. Lord, would you just come down, Lord? Would you fill the pews, Lord, fill the aisles, Lord, and fill the hearts, oh Lord. Lord, and when Brother Nathaniel comes out, Lord, I ask that you would just move him completely out of the way, Lord, that you could have preeminence in this service, Lord. Lord, we've not come to hear Brother Nathaniel, Lord, we've come to hear from you this evening. Father, I ask that you would have complete control in this service. Lord, you see these needs that have been lifted up, Father. Lord, you are still Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Lord, you can come and touch these needs. Lord, I ask that you would come down, Lord. Lord, all the unspoken requests, Lord, each and every heart, Lord. I ask that you would have complete control, Lord. Would you have preeminence in this service, Lord, and we'd be sure to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. We're going to speed things up a little bit here, since it's kind of rainy and dreary, it kind of slows us down, so we'll sing a fast one. Sister, it's a fire line.
Oh, now if you're in the battle for the Lord and bride, keep on the fire inside. And if you win, my brother, surely you must buy. Keep on the fire in line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the fire in line. Oh, you must fight. Brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fire in line. Now God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the fire. Wear a crown and bear the cross, you must keep on the fire in line. Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Praise you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the fire in line. Oh, must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fire in line. Now when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the fire. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the fire in line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. Just keep on the fire in line. Fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fire in line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against.
have a special this evening. If the Harwell sisters would come up and get ready. While they come, let's sing that song. It just left me.
Cover me so
Thank you, sisters, for that beautiful special. Let's sing that song as you stand. We'll be taking an offering, I believe. Let's sing that song, Only Believe, and see. Sing that again as Brother Barry comes at this time.
Only believe. Only believe. Are possible. Only believe.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to have you all here. Good to have Brian and Lucille here. God bless you. And each and every one of you here today. I think it's a great evening to be able to get together and study God's Word. And Brother Tim, God bless you. Good to have you. I don't know if you got the memo or not, but this is 13 and up. You fit that one, but single, and you don't fit that one. But either way, we'll let you stay. All right? Good to have you with us tonight. Let's sing that little chorus. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Order my steps. Key of C. Let's leave it in there. All right. Steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. Sing it again. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps. Steps in your word. I want to walk worthy according to thy word. Please order my steps, Lord, and I'll do your blessed will. The world is ever changing, but you are still same. If you'll order my steps, I'll praise your name. Let's sing it again now. Let's try it again. Order in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, To come and take the service tonight, and we are, like I said, we're just honored to have all of you folks with us tonight, and glad you all braved the elements to come and be with us tonight. I remember years ago when I was a young fellow. Austin, good to have you back in your spot there, buddy. I remember when I was a young fellow, there was a brother said to me, and this is when I lived in Ohio, I was pastoring up there. And I just started pastoring. I lived in Ohio for 16 years, and I took the church when I was about 30 years old, somewhere right around that time period. And I pastored there for 16 years. And when I got there first, this older brother who was in the church there, he and I had a conversation, and he said it was a good thing that I had such a clean start. And I was able to, start the church and start the ministry and so forth, start fresh, start with, without a lot of history. And I said, well, what difference does that make? Like, what about if I had a lot of history or what if I didn't? He said, over the years, I've accumulated a lot of hurts in my life. And he said, things I've regretted and things that, maybe didn't go quite like I wanted them to go. And troubles came and different things, unexpected things that some of it he caused and some of it he didn't cause. And so now towards the end of his life, and he died a few years after that, but at the end of his life now he was saying that he envied my clean start. And he said, you have the opportunity to make whatever you want to make out of your life and your ministry and so forth, and have the ability to be able to minister to people without any reservations at all, without any hesitation, and without any history and all the rest of it. And his comments kind of stuck with me, and I've often thought about that because now I'm kind of on the other end of that conversation. Now I'm not starting ministry, and I'm not, there's a lot of things that have happened over the years. And some of it, I'm proud of, and some of it I'm happy about, but there's other things that, I wish I could go back and change. I wish I could go back and alter somehow. And people that sometimes misunderstand something you say or do, and you'd like to be able to get those people back and explain to them, what you really meant, what you really felt like back at that time. It was not a personal thing, and they shouldn't hold a grudge and all the rest of it. And life is not always easy. And I say all that just to say this to you that are here tonight. Most of you are pretty young. It's God's given you a clean slate for a reason. He's given you life almost like an empty box. And what you put in it very often is your choice, what you want to put in it. And you can let things into your life, and you can allow certain things to come into your life. But over time, those things may, they may grow into something you don't like. And what I'm saying to you tonight, and this is what I think is important for us all to remember, and take it from me because I've been in both positions. You want to be guarded about. You want to be protective of that space that God's created within your heart and your life. Be protective of it. And don't let people sway you the wrong way or drop. It might be friends in school, or it might be the internet or whatever else. It could be lots of different, maybe you're at a camp and people are doing things that you normally wouldn't do, and all of a sudden you're exposed to it, and now you got to make a choice. And I would encourage you to do this. Make the choice on the conservative side, because the things that you do and the things you allow in are going to be with you for a while. And you don't want to let those accumulate to become problems up the road. You don't want to have to try to get rid of things out of that box up the road. So it's better not to let it in than to let it in and try to get it out later on and try to fix it later on. Don't let it in. And so you have the opportunity tonight to hear the word, the message, the hour, and it is truth. When God speaks, it's true. And I believe this message is of God. And when God speaks it's true, it's an easy thing to let that in, let the word in, and let it take root and let it grow. You'll never regret that later on. You'll never wish you hadn't done that. I guess if anything else, I wish I had done more of that in my early years, you know, to be even more attentive and more focused than what we were. But you folks had that opportunity. And you know what? This doesn't make sense in the world we live in. Because in the world we live in on a Saturday night, young people are not gathered in the church. Right? We're not here because there's thousands of people and rock bands that are playing Christian music and light shows and, you know, super refreshments afterwards. We're not here for that. I mean, this is, in a sense, this is kind of it's a silly thing, really, to the world, because this is not how the world spends Saturday night. But yet, it's a good thing. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. And we don't have to have hundreds and thousands of people. We don't have to have a lot of entertainment. Really what you need to have, and the only thing you need to have, is an open heart. And just say, Lord, let me embrace the things that come from you. And let them affect me. Let them move me. Let them, speak to me. And let me allow them to find good ground, good soil in my heart, that they might become good things. And you know what? Who cares what the world does? I've been on both ends of that spectrum. I've been out there and been inside. And I will tell you what, I'll choose the inside any day. It is a much, much better and cleaner way of life. I'll tell you that. And there are scars that I have from that time in the world that I still bear, still think about. And I'm glad I surrendered when I did. I'm glad I didn't go any farther than what I did at the tender age of 21. And so you have a great opportunity to start with a clean slate, an empty box, and just say, Lord, just let me make that a practice, just to be really picky, really restrictive about what I take in. And if it's the wrong thing, I'm going to resist it. Just help me, Lord, identify and discern what's good and what's not good, and what's wholesome and what's not, and what's right and what's not. And then when I know it's right and I know it comes from God, then Lord, let me embrace it fully. And if it's not, we're going to push it away. And you're okay doing that. That's kind of a good way to approach things in life. Well, let's stand to our feet, and we're going to invite Brother Nathan to come, and we're going to give him time tonight. And I don't know about you, but I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have anything else to do. I don't have any other pressing appointments except tomorrow morning at church. And so we just might as well put our feet under the table and just enjoy the word tonight. Will you do that? You know what? Some of you may seem awkward or may seem nervous or whatever else, but there's a real nice atmosphere here. There's a real nice presence here. And that's always a nice thing to be able to minister in. And just keep that up. Because the worship doesn't stop when a preacher stands here. When you pull and when you believe and when you draw on that gift, that's a form of worship. And that's a good thing. All right, leave it in the key of C there, sister. Keep your mind stayed on me. Let's do that tonight. Keep your mind stayed on me. Stayed on me. Faithfully. And just keep your mind stayed on me. Sing it again now. Yes, keep your mind stayed on me. Oh, stay on me. One more time. Oh.
us tonight. Amen. God bless you all. It's real nice to be with you. Meant a lot to be invited down to see some of my old friends, my buddy, Brother Stephen, and we just appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to be with you. Appreciate Brother Barry a lot. I'm certainly a product of his ministry with the youth, and I believe strongly in youth ministry. Amen. I think it's one of the most important ministries that we have amongst the Church of God. Around the message of the hour, one of the most important things going on in the ministry is centered around the young people that are called to take this message on to a rapture. Amen. And something that I think is said every year at the Winter Youth Retreat is that you are not the church of tomorrow, you're the church of today. Amen. That's my attitude tonight as well. So we just want to ask the Lord's help tonight to speak a few words from my heart to try to equip you for the age that we're living in. Something that we trust will be an inspiration. So will you turn with me to Psalms chapter 139? And we'll read some of these familiar and precious words. It's good to see some of my friends from Brother Josh Bennett's church. Appreciate you coming out tonight. A lot of you I don't know, but hopefully by the end of the weekend I will. We'll all be good friends. Psalms 139, we'll start at the first verse there. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And drop down there to the 13th verse. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you say amen to that? Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Amen. Precious words. Let's just pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank You for another opportunity, Lord, to gather together as young people. Father, and gather around this word. Lord, we believe that this word that we are believing in, Lord, this word that we're preaching is not a dead letter, Father, but it's a living word. It's a living message, Father. It has power in it. It has life in it, Lord. And we believe that it's still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, You're not here in a body like You walk the shores of Galilee. And Father, You're not here in a prophet, Lord, that we've had in our midst, in our day, Father, in those bodies. But Lord, You're here in a many-membered body. You're here by the power of Your Holy Ghost, Lord, and You're still able to speak to hearts, I believe, Father. You're able to take a man, Lord, off his notes, out of his way, Father, and speak to individual situations, Lord. So here we are as a group of young people asking, Lord, and trusting and believing, Father, that You'll just speak to us tonight exactly what You have in mind for us, Father, and may nothing about ourselves hinder it, Lord, and may nothing that we are, Lord, nothing that we're holding to, may it all be laid down before You, Father, that You could speak what You would want to say, Father, and just deal with our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ as we dedicate ourselves. God bless you, young people, as you're seated. Amen. Good to see my friend, Brother Tim, here tonight. God bless you, brother. To take my text tonight, let's stay in the book of Psalms and turn over to the 8th chapter. And I want to read a few verses here. And just like I said, talk from my heart on a little thought. And we'll just title it, Who Am I? Who am I? Amen. So Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3. The Bible says here, When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man? What is man? You ever think about this, young people? What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Can you say amen to the reading of the word tonight? Amen. What is man? And who is man? I think that's really a timeless question. It's a question that's been asked just about in every individual life, from the beginning, down through ages, down through generations. This great question of who we are and what we're here for. And I think young people that are coming to your age, and you're coming to about the time in life where you're beginning to, you're coming out of your childhood, you're coming into adulthood, and you're beginning to think thoughts like this, like, who am I? And why am I here? And where am I going? Where did I come from? And what's my purpose? Amen. What's my purpose? And it's an important question to ask. It's something that really only you can answer. It's something that's personal. It's individual. We're not a church. We don't have a doctrine that you're placed in your ministry by the laying on of hands. We don't have any organization that brings you up and molds you and sees the gifts in you and tries to put you on a certain trajectory. But we believe that God calls who He will. And He puts you in your purpose. He puts you on the right path of life. And so I hope you can relate to that tonight, because that's what I'm preaching on. But this question of who I am and what's my purpose and what am I here for? And it's been the question of kings and philosophers and wise men all down through the ages. I think that the reason that is, because I think this question is something that lays at the very heart of what it means to be a human being. At the very heart of mankind, there's this question that's asked over and over and over again, because it's a very important question. Amen. And what it comes down to is purpose. It comes down to purpose. And I'm somebody that I believe in purpose. I think a lot about purpose. I spend a lot of time wondering about what my purpose is and what I'm here for. And that's something that's natural for a human being, because I think there's something at the heart of man. There's something at the heart of mankind that causes him to desire something greater. He desires a special purpose. He desires a special... That's what makes man ambitious. That's what makes... When you look at the human race, you compare him to all of the other animals of the world. And animal life lives by instinct. It lives... You look at a dog or you look at a cat, and the lifestyle that they have and the nature about them, it's not changed for thousands of years. Nothing has changed about their... They have no society, they have no ambition, they have no structure. But a human being is ambitious. You know that man, there's something about man, he wants to build and he wants to achieve and he wants to make something great and he wants to pull himself up to a higher place. And that's why we have great science, we have great education, we have all the great organizations of this world, is because of something at the heart of man. He's got, and I believe it's because, in whether we realize it or not, whether people out here realize it, there's something in the heart of man that he knows he's fallen from somewhere. He knows he belongs up here, but he's conscious that he's down here in a fallen state. The Bible says that we have fallen short, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's a glory about humanity. There's a glory that it means to be a man or a woman. And it's something that we have, that when we're born in this world, we don't measure up to it. But we want it. There's something, if you're honest with yourself, young people, and you begin to think seriously about these things, you'll find that there's a void on the inside of you that you're longing to fill. There's something that you're born with. There's this empty hole and this desire to be something more than you are, something greater, something higher. And human beings are conscious of that. And so there's a void on the inside because by a natural birth, we're disconnected from our original meaning and our original purpose and what we were created to be. And we know that, so we strive to be something better. And everybody's got that void. Everybody's got that void on the inside, and some are more conscious of it than others. There's a lot of people that they're too busy with their daily life. They're too busy, working a job and having kids and going on vacation, and too busy with just the drudgeries of everyday life. And people live their whole life and never ask this question. Yeah. There's people that go through their whole, all the years of their life and never contemplate their purpose. But that hole is there, but they're so distracted by the meaninglessness of life that they forget it. But, there's people out here, and you look at really artistic people, really philosophical people. And some of you young people are that way, so you can relate to what I'm saying. And those are people that are much more introspective. And so they're conscious of that void. They're conscious of it. And that's why that kind of people, they're very unstable. You know, because they're conscious of that void, so they try to fill it. They try to fill it with alcohol. They try to fill it with drugs, or they try to fill it with lust, or all these things out in the world that this world offers to try to shut up the voice of that void, that emptiness, that little prick in the heart saying, what am I here for? What's it all about? What does it mean? What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to live in a world and have a finite life, you know? And then there's other people that they recognize the importance of that need for purpose. They're conscious of it. So they try to build a kingdom. They try to be this great somebody. And so, you know, they'll try to build a legacy, something that's going to last. You look at Paul, you look at political people, you know, they have that drive to them. They want to be something great. They want to leave a legacy. They know they have a short amount of time to do it. They want to build something. They want to be a kingdom builder. And, you know, you might ask yourself the question, why would anybody want to be president? It's a hard job. It's really, you look at the pictures of Mr. Obama before and after office. It's rough, man. It'll kill you if you stay in it too long. But you see that what would make somebody want to do that is somebody that they know that's as close to immortality. That's as close to something everlasting that they'll ever get in this life. Amen. That's why people live their whole lives for it. But friends, you know, to me, that's not enough. It's not enough. There's an old saying that you die twice in your life. One is when you come to the end of your years and you pass away and you die. But the second time, the second death, is when the last person speaks your name. That should sober us as young people to think about that. You might be great. You might build a legacy. You might be somebody. You might be a great conqueror or somebody very famous. You know, there was a great conqueror named Caesar Augustus, and I was thinking about him a while ago. And 2,000 years ago, he ruled over an empire. And today, we still speak his name. You still read about him. 2,000 years, and we know all about his life. We know about how he came up and what he did and what he accomplished in his life. But give it another 1,000, maybe 2,000, maybe 3,000 years. And if that's all there is, young people, eventually he'll be forgotten. And it'll be for nothing. Amen. Eventually, everything that we build, everything we can accomplish, everything that we can be is going to pass away. Here we have no continuing city. Amen. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing lasting. But yet we have this void. We have this desire. And I don't know if you think like me, young people, but that's something I thought about a lot as a young person is I believe in purpose. I believe that there's got to be something more than this mortal coil. There's got to be something more important than working a job and marrying and having kids and living 70, 80 years and die and pass away and have nothing remaining. Amen. There's got to be something. And if you've got that desire inside of you, I believe that proves, amen, because we long for purpose, I believe there's a purpose for us. I believe for a son or daughter of God is born with a purpose that goes beyond this mortal life. It goes beyond this temporary realm of time, but it's something that's eternal. It's something that's lasting. It's something that's great, young people. And if you have that in you to desire something more than the drudgery of everyday life, and maybe more than religion, more than belonging to a church, and just going through the motions and living out the rituals and church attendance and singing the songs and paying your tithes, but you want something real. You want something that's lasting. Amen. I believe it's reality, friends. I believe there's really something to that. I believe there's a deep calling to a deep. If there's something in you desiring a purpose, desiring to know who you are and what you're here for, there's something out here to answer it. Amen. That's why I embrace this message. That's what this message means to me. It represents my purpose. It represents what I'm here for, what I'm called to believe, what I'm called to be. Amen. What I'm called to accomplish. Brother Branham said, there's not a person living but what looks to that would like to look past the curtain and know, where did I come from? And who am I and where am I going? And of all the fine books that's been read, the great master selections that's been made, there's only one book that reveals where you are. where you come from and where you're going. Amen. And he said, and it also lets us look past the curtain to see it. Amen. You know what this message came to do? It came to reveal to you exactly what my question is tonight. It came to show you who you are. It didn't come to make you a slightly better church with slightly better doctrine. Amen. Or to reform you from one denomination to another, or put you into a movement, or put you into an organization. It came to reveal to you as an individual who you are, why you're here, what you are to do. Amen. It came to reveal your purpose. Brother Branham said, in the bride is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. That's such a beautiful statement to me as somebody who longs to know my purpose. In the bride is summed up the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. In you. That's you. Amen. You represent an eternal purpose. Amen. That is something that's near and dear to God's heart. Amen. I'd rather have that than silver and gold, money or fame. Amen. Amen. But see, we've got a message, young people, and the reason we're excited about it, the reason we promote it, is because we've had a prophet that was able to look into God's mind at the beginning and answer these great questions about why are we here? Amen. Amen. He looked into God's mind at the beginning and he told us that in God's mind, he was desiring and love a family of his own. Are you familiar with the quote? He desired and love a family of his own. Can you imagine God was lonely? God had a desire. God had a purpose. God had something that was driving him, just like there's something that drives you. Just like there's a desire that you don't even always fully understand, but something that's driving you to know God, amen, is something that was in God driving him to know you. Amen. Amen. And he created, heavens and earth were created to express that desire. Amen. The reason he said, let there be light, amen, was because he was desiring that family. The reason he started creation, the reason he brought forth the world, the reason he brought forth all the trees and all the animals and created himself in Eden was for a purpose. It wasn't for accident. It wasn't for no reason. It wasn't because he was messing around and doodling in space. Amen. But he did it with a purpose. He did it with a reason. He did it with something in mind. And that's what the message came to reveal to you. Adam was an expression of that desire. When God created a son, amen, it was because he was lonely and he was wanting fellowship with the human race. God's desire for you is why Adam came. God's desire for fellowship with you is why he brought forth Adam. Amen. But you know, when he brought forth Adam, it was a perfect representation of what was in God's heart. Amen. He reproduced himself in a son. And Adam was lonely because God was lonely. Adam was looking for somebody because God was looking for somebody. Oh, it never gets old to me. And so what did he do? He took a bride out of Adam. He took something that was hidden up in Adam, and he took it out and made it flesh, and he made a bride for his son. Amen. But see, that was not the end of God's purpose. Amen. Eden was not a perfect expression of God's purpose. It was not a perfect fulfillment of what God had desired. Amen. You might think that the fall was something that happened by accident. It didn't. It happened for a purpose. It happened because there was a greater mystery that was ready to be fulfilled. Amen. Because God was lonely, just like Adam was lonely, and he had something hidden up in the inside. He had a secret something, a secret desire, secret attributes that were tearing him up on the inside, wanting to get it out so he could fellowship with it. Amen. That's why he died on a cross, young people. It's more than a story. Amen. It's more than something that happened 2,000 years ago. It was more than an event in time. But we've got to recognize, young people, that when he died on the cross, his side was opened up, just like Adam. Amen. And the purpose that he died was to bring forth a bride. And the reason he died was to bring you forth, amen, because you are as precious to him as Eve was to Adam, as perfect as that union was. How much more perfect the bride of Jesus Christ, the sons and daughters of God, brought out of the side of God by a new birth and brought unto him in a perfect fellowship. How significant, how purposeful. Amen. How wonderful. It's beyond anything, amen, that we could ever understand. But you were in God, and when he died, he came forth. That's why he was not afraid to go to the cross. Amen. He's for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. You see what you are, young people? You are the joy of the Lord. You are the purpose of God. You are what he has desired. You are everything that he had in his mind, in his heart, to bring forth. And here you are. Amen.
Amen. Here you are in this time, in this season. So your life is not insignificant. It's not accidental. It's not, you're not here because you had a plan and you had some ambitions and you worked it all out. You're here for a purpose. You're part of some great cosmic story that when you were born you knew nothing about. But a message came to reveal it to you. That you're part of Him. You're part of this story. You're part of this purpose. You're part of this great drama unfolding in time and space. That's so beautiful to me. Amen. Amen. I hope it's beautiful to you. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, and you were that joy. So you see your purpose, young people. You are the purpose. You're His purpose. Amen. And heavens and earth and all the eons of history, the prophets, the church ages, the messengers, the message was to bring forth you. That's what the message came to reveal. It was to bring forth you. Amen. Yes, you with the complexes. You with that feeling of inferiority. You with that insecurity. You that feel like you're insignificant. You feel like you're nobody. You feel like you're not important. You feel like if you just walked away that nobody would miss you and that God wouldn't miss you. No, you are that one that I'm talking about. You are that significant one. You are that purposeful one. Amen. Because if you are in God, then you're part of what makes Him God. You're part of what makes Him perfect. If He ever thought something, then His thought is eternal. And if He ever thought of you, amen. But the challenge of youth ministry, the challenge of preaching this message to young people is to get you to believe that, to believe who you are, to believe the potential that's in you in spite of what your eyes tell you, in spite of what your emotions and all the angst of teenage life and all the complexes and all the insecurities and all the voices of this world are telling you, to believe, to accept that you have a purpose. Amen. Amen. Who am I? Who are you? And it's the fact that you're insignificant, the fact that you have complexes, that proves to me that you desire to be a somebody to somebody. There's a desire. You want to be somebody to somebody. You don't need to be maybe a real humble type person. You don't need to be a big somebody in this world. But I think every one of us, we want to be somebody to somebody. We want to have a reason to be. We want somebody to care, somebody to be interested in us. And young people, God is interested in you. God, you're a somebody to God. Now I know that's cliche, but what I'm trying to express to you is that it's the cliche. It's the great trope. You look at all of literature and all of the stories that we tell as a human race, and every rags to riches story, every story where somebody goes up against all odds and they win, every story that represents what a human being wants to be and what we want to accomplish, it's speaking in a type of this bride. Amen. The reason there's a world, the reason we're conscious of these thoughts is because there's a fallen human race, and that desire on the inside to be a somebody, to be something, amen, to not be insignificant, proves, amen, that this message is true. It proves, amen, that we need a God that's interested in us. A God that has a plan for us. A God that has a purpose. We need a message to reveal to us why we're here and what we are to do and who we are to be. You see, it's the cliche. Amen. Every story and every desire that ever came out of human consciousness, every story that was told, amen, is a type of the children of God. And everyone that's born into that body, if you're big or small or important or insignificant, if you got status or not, a position or not, you are part of God's great purpose. Amen. And you might be tired of hearing about it. You might not really believe it yet. Amen. But you are indispensable to God. He can't lose you. He can't do without you. The rest of us can't do without you. If you're here hearing my voice and there's something in your heart to desire it, you're necessary. You're significant, young people. You've got a great purpose. You've got a great potential. Amen. And so, and everyone that's born again is part of that purpose. Brother Branham said, you were sons and daughters of God before there was a moon, stars, or a molecule. Amen. He didn't choose you when you were born. He didn't choose you when you came to an altar. He didn't choose you the last time you made a mistake and then you decided you'd repent and try to do better. He didn't choose you then. The Bible says He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. So before there was a moon, And before there were stars, and before there was a molecule, God chose you. Amen. He had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. You can believe it if you want to. Amen. You can accept that if you want to. You can make that a part of your life, a part of your mind, a part of your hopes and dreams and ambitions, because the Word says it. Amen. And that's what means something to a believer. Not what our complexes are telling us, but what the Word says. Amen. And so that's why we have young people. He said, before there was a moon, stars, or a molecule, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that were in God at the beginning. Those things that were bottled up in His heart, the things that He was thinking about, the things... You see, He wasn't just thinking about, we're going to have nice churches. We're going to have these wonderful tapes. We're going to have a message program. We're going to have missionary outreach. What God had in mind was people. He had sons and daughters, young people. Amen. Insignificant people to the world, but to God, before the foundation of the world, He was thinking about every one of them. He was thinking about you and waiting and longing and desiring and working and moving toward bringing you forth. See, it answers the question, young people. The message answers the question. It's got the answers of who we are and where did we come from. Amen. I'll tell you who you are. You're the bride of Jesus Christ. You're a son or daughter of God. I'll tell you where you came from. You came from God. You came from eternity. You're going back to eternity. Amen. Whatever happens in this little realm of time cannot diminish the fact that you are part of Him. And part of His eternal life. Oh, and if Jesus died to take us to heaven, have you ever asked yourself what we're doing here 2,000 years later? What's the purpose, friends? If all there was to the mystery of God, you know that God had a mystery? There was a mystery to God? There's a mystery to God. I'm going to take a few moments on this. God is a mysterious God. The Bible says no man has seen the Father at any time. He's so far above human, fallen human beings, that we have no ability to understand Him. So the only way we know anything about God is if He reveals it to us. If He humbles Himself to us, is the only way we can look up to Him and understand who He is. That's why He sends prophets. That's why He sends messengers. What is He doing? He's revealing. He's opening. He's revealing. We didn't know. Brother Bram talked about the Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New. You've been taught that. Amen. Well, we didn't know that God was a healer until He came down and healed. We didn't know, but we had a prophet, amen, and a prophetic ministry that revealed Him to be not just Jehovah God, but Jehovah Rapha, the healer. And then we found out that's who He is. It was a mystery before, but see, now we know, right? And then we didn't know that He was a provider, but one day Abraham was in need of a lamb. Amen. And so what did God do? He provided, and Abraham, through Abraham's prophetic ministry, we found out by revelation, He's not just Jehovah, but He's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Amen? Amen? And so all these attributes of God down through time, you see what He's doing? You see His purpose is to reveal more and more of Himself. More of those attributes, more of those characteristics that were a mystery in the beginning, but now they're made plain. Now we can be healed if we need it. Now we can have provision if we need it, because we've received the revelation of who He is. But you know, He came down, and I talked about Adam, how Adam was revealing something about God, because Adam was lonely and God was lonely. And then we had the Lord Jesus Christ came, and it was the farthest God had ever humbled Himself to literally live in a human body with you and me and feel what we feel and go through what we go through and fellowship with us to reveal a mystery. To declare unto his name, which is a whole other subject. But then He dies, and He sheds His blood for our sins. But we didn't all go in a rapture 3 days later. 2,000 years later, we're still here. And then God sends a prophet, and the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the full mystery is to be revealed, right? All those hidden attributes are to be revealed. But now the prophet's gone, and we're still here. You know why? Amen. Because some of us weren't born in 1965. Some of us weren't born in 1977. Amen. Some of you were born in 1994, 1995, 1996. There was something in God's heart that was still needing to be revealed. And here you are. You see what I'm talking about, young people? The simplicity of recognizing this message is so simple. It's just telling you who you are. Just trying to tell you where you came from. It's God Himself trying to speak to you as an individual. and get you beyond church order and beyond pastors and prophets and mediators, and get you in a little room with God where He can begin to reveal to you that you're part of Him and you're going back to Him and you're here for a purpose. You're here to take a rapture. Amen. You're a somebody to God. What a beautiful thing. You see, it answers the question, why we're here, what we're doing here. And every thought of God has to be spoken in the right season. If God ever thought something, there's a season, there's a specific time, a specific place. It's not willy-nilly, but it's very specific, it's very structured, it's very ordered. Anything God ever thought had a specific time when it was ready to be spoken. And if God ever thought of you, amen, then He had a time in mind, He had a place in mind called Hickory, North Carolina, where you would be spoken into this world and born again by a spoken word experience. Amen. And come to the realization of who you are, and that seed of predestination on the inside come to life. Amen. There's a reality, young people, of an experience with God that is powerful enough, amen, to reveal to you in a moment who you are, what your purpose is. Amen. And then you're walking with God, and then see, everything else will follow that. It's the most important thing. Amen. It's important to find the right spouse. Important to find the right career. It's important to follow God's will for your life. But the most important thing is to know who you are. Amen. And know where you stand with God. Every young person who had a thought of God was elected for this season to fulfill God's purpose. There's a quote I'm very fond of. Brother Branham said there's coming a royal word bride. And he said, and the time and the place is a promise that's given to her. That means we're not here by accident. That means we're not here kind of sitting on our hands waiting for this message to come true, waiting for a rapture to happen. No, young people. Amen. We're here for a purpose. Amen. We're here for a reason. God's doing something in your life that's very, very important. It's the most important. It's the greatest thing, the greatest drama, this story of redemption. And so He always sends His word with a purpose. So if He thought of you, spoke you into this world, quickened you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you are here for a purpose. You must accept it. You are here for a purpose. You might not be a preacher, teacher, musician, pastor, pastor's wife. You might not have a position like that, but you've got a position in Christ. And it's the most important thing. Brother Bram said, now there's a time that a man can come to a place where he can have a purpose. Amen. If you're desiring that, there's a place where you can have it. And Brother Bram said it's something that will change him. And that is when a man meets God. When a man meets God, a man can never be the same if he ever meets God face to face. It will change him in spite of anything you can do about it. I like that. It'll change him in spite of anything you can do about it. A man can never be the same after he once meets God. Amen. So tonight, young people, forget what you know. Forget what you've learned. Forget what church you belong to. Forget believing God sent a prophet. Forget all those things. You've got to know God. Amen. Not what you know about God. Not what you know in theory. Not what you know by doctrine. But you must know God, and you must know where you stand with God. You must know that you are one of His and you're born again, that you are a child of God. And once you know that, you are invincible. Once you know that, you are unshakable. Amen. That's your rest. That's your security. That's your safety in this world, is to know where you've come from. Amen. Oh, because if you're part of His Word, then you're not going to return void. Because His Word never returns void. So if you're more than a church member, and you know that you're more than just a human being of this world, of this temporary life, but you know you've come from God, you know you're not going to fail. You know you're going to take a rapture. Fear passes away. Worry passes away. Complexes pass away. When you know where you stand with God, you know, who am I? Amen. Who He is, who you are. Amen. That He has chosen you. We need young people who know who they are. Amen. When you find your purpose in God, you will find peace. That's why the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a type of Canaan land. Amen. Because the Bible says, let us fear lest we fail to enter into our rest. There was a people, they were called to possess a land. They were called to live a life. Amen. It was something that God had promised them, but not all of them did it. And they didn't do everything that they were promised. Amen. They didn't take all of Canaan. They didn't drive out all the inhabitants, but there's a people coming. There's a bride coming, a seed of Abraham that's going to possess the gates of the enemy. Amen. But it's going to take something on the inside, knowing who you are. A real experience with God, a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's the only place in the Bible you'll ever find the Bible instructing you to be afraid. Is to fear lest you fail to enter into your rest. Fear unless you fail to receive the Holy Ghost. Fear unless you fail to find your position in God. Amen. Find out who you are. Be afraid of that. Amen. But once you find that, don't be afraid anymore. You know, some of you young people, how many of you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Don't be afraid. Don't worry, but just let it, let that take over. Let that purpose take control of your life. Amen. Because that's what really matters. Let us fear lest we fail into our rest. So if you're going to be afraid of missing your purpose. Be afraid of not finding your position in Christ. Be afraid of not receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the problem in churches. That's the problem in message churches. It's the problem in this world is we've got, especially in this Laodicean day, we have an identity crisis. Isn't that right? It's an identity crisis. Nobody knows who they are. They don't know what to be. They don't know what gender to be. They don't know this or that. You know, that there's a confusion. There's an instability. People lose their drive. There's people in this world, they've achieved it all. They got money, they got fame, they got women, they got everything that we think that we might desire in the flesh, and they're committing suicide, and they're not even living a life because they're so high on drugs and abusing substances and just wasting this mortal life. Why? Because of that question, because of that desire, because of that need. You won't drown it out, young people. The older you get, the louder it'll cry. The more you try to fill it up with earthly things, the more you try to bury that, the more it's gonna push out and corrupt your life and make you miserable. Amen. It's an identity crisis. It's a spiritual amnesia. It was promised to come in the Laodicean day. Amen. But what the message does is it brings a light that drives out all the darkness, and it brings a clarity to your life of who you are and what your purpose is, what you're here for. Amen. Oh my. And so that's why you got so many people trying to find their identity in some culture or some movement or some group. They'll join some music group because they feel like it expresses something that they're feeling, or they'll join some political movement, or they'll join. But the worst thing is if you join a church, the worst thing, you get yourself a church identity and you think because you belong to a message church and you believe God sent a prophet and you've been taught right and you got a good pastor and good parents that everything okay. It's not enough, young people. It's not enough. There is no substitute for a new birth. There's no substitute for finding your position in Christ, finding out who you are. Amen. But when you have the Holy Ghost, then you don't have an identity crisis, because it's not your identity anymore. It's Christ. Christ becomes your identity. Amen. Because it's Christ's life inside of you. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Christ in you. Amen. And it proves that you came from God, because of His life living in you. Now, Brother Branham said, being baptized into Him, we become identified. In other words, we got an identity change. We find an identity. We become identified in His likeness. Identified with His Word, which is Him. If I am in Christ, I am His Word. I am His Word. Now, you say, well, I believe the message. But if you're in Christ, you are the message. I believe God's got a purpose for me, but if you're in Christ, you are that purpose. Amen. I believe there's got to be a meaning out here somewhere, but if you're in Christ, you are that meaning. You are that truth. Amen. Hallelujah. You are that life. I am His Word, for He is the Word, and what He is, I am. What a powerful quote. We need some young people that know where they stand with God. We need some young men, young women that are not following all the folly of this world. Amen. But they've had a real experience with God, and they're standing firmly on the foundation. Amen. Of a real birth, a real experience. And they know who they are. They know where they stand. They know God sent a prophet. They know a message is true. And they know they're the ones that are to live it. They know they're the ones that are to fulfill it. You know, the devil asks the same question I'm asking you tonight. I'm asking who you are. Who are you anyway? What are you here for? And the devil, that's going to be the devil's question to you. There were seven sons of Sheva in the Bible, in the book of Acts. You can read about them. These guys, you know, seem like, said there in the Bible, their daddy was a preacher. And so they came from, they had a good family name, they had a good background, they went to a good church. They believed, you know, good doctrine, had solid teaching, they saw the apostles casting out devils and all those things. And so they thought that, well, everything was going great. And so there was a young man, I believe it was, that was afflicted by a devil. And these seven sons of Sheva said, well, we're good church kids, so we're going to go pray. We're going to cast this devil out. Amen. You know what the devil said? Amen. The devil wasn't intimidated by church attendance. The devil's not intimidated by quoting quotes. The devil's a better quoter than you. The devil comes to church way more than you do. Amen. He never misses a service. And so he asked a question. And it's what I'm asking you tonight. He said, listen, Jesus, we know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Brother Branham, I know. Brother Barry, I know. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? That's why we have trouble, young people. Amen. When we've not had a real experience with God, we try to get by on somebody else's coattails. We try to get by on our association with a good church, on an association with a message. And then the devil will call your bluff right away. Who are you? I know Jesus. I know Brother Branham. Who are you? Amen. You've got to have an answer. You've got to have an answer. You got to know where you stand. And when you know where you stand with God, then you have the answer to the devil's question. Amen. Whatever he brings against you, whenever he comes against you, whatever power comes against you, you've got the answer to it. You've got the answer because of something in your heart saying, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I know where I stand. I know where I came from. I know what I believe and in whom I have believed. Amen. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, young people, to come into your rest, come into that possession, come into Canaan. Amen. And only you as an individual can do it. Nobody can drag you in there. Nobody can teach you in there, or we would. Nobody can preach you in there, or we would. Amen. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the road to Emmaus, and there was a couple message-believing kids in there, in that story. There was a couple message believers that had that they believed the message, they knew the word for their day, they talked about it, they walked in it best they could, and they're walking down the road one day, and a man comes along, and they're talking to him, and there's some talking going back and forth, just like you go to church and you talk, you counsel with your pastor, you talk to your parents, you hear some preaching and things, and they're talking about the word for their day. They're talking about the message. They weren't talking about video games and sports and music and entertainment. They were talking about the word. It's a powerful story when you really apply it to your life. Talking about the word. And here Jesus himself is preaching them a sermon. Takes them down through Moses, takes them down through the prophets, all down through the Bible, and shows them exactly the word for their day. Good teaching, good lesson, good preaching. And Brother Branham makes a powerful statement. He said, look, they're walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus. And the preaching of the word wasn't enough. He said the preaching wasn't enough. Amen. Because their eyes were shut. Didn't have any vision. Didn't have any understanding. They weren't making the connections. They knew it intellectually, but, you know, how far does that go? Doesn't go far with the devil. Amen. But what it took, friends, is when they got home and Jesus came inside. Isn't that simple? That's beautiful. He's got to come inside. He's got to come inside. When church attendance is over, amen, when good teaching is over, good preaching is over, when it gets to beyond all that, he's got to come inside. And then he can break the bread of life to you. Then he can reveal himself to you. Then you can have a personal communion with him, shut in with God in a secret place. And then your eyes will be open. Then you'll know who you are, where you stand, what you're here for. Amen. When you come into that inner place. Amen. I want to recommend some messages to you young people. A hidden life in Christ. Why are people so tossed about? The inner veil. Some messages that changed my life. And we're coming down to a close here in the next 10 minutes or so. But you know, you're here for a purpose. And we need young people that know their purpose. They know where they came from. They got the answer to the devil's question. When you've got that, Then you don't have to. You're not going to be shaken. Brother Branham said that Satan could not drown Noah in the flood until the purpose of God had been finished. Amen. See, because it's the greatest thread of history is God's plan, God's purpose, God's redemption, trying to bring forth a bride, trying to bring you forth. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest truth. It's the greatest desire. Amen. And it's the greatest story. And until that's finished, Then nothing can mess that up, you know, because it's in the perfect will of God. So Noah couldn't drown until the purpose of God had been finished. He couldn't burn the Hebrew children till the purpose of God had been finished. He could not kill Job with bolts and troubles, boils and troubles, until the purpose of God had been finished. And neither could the lions eat Daniel until God's purpose had been finished. Neither could death and old age take Abraham until the purpose of God had been finished. And neither can it take you, nor can it take me, until the purpose of God in our life is finished. So we gather from their consolation. Young people, it's so true. There's such a peace in it. I hope you know it for yourself. And so you're here for a purpose. And that's why we try to preach this message to the young people. Why we try to teach it. Why we're trying to present it. Because it answers these great questions. And it brings this great peace. It fulfills this deep desire to be something. Buddy who's here for some reason, for some purpose, not live 70, 80 years and die, but be part of an eternal thread, an eternal story. And so how do I find my purpose? By feeding on the Word. Amen. First of all, you must be born again. But if you're born again, feed on the Word, because what that Spirit in you will reveal that Word to you and cause you to realize your purpose. Amen. Walk with God. Be led by the Spirit. Humble yourself before God. And you know what's key to it, friends? You're asking yourself as young people, you're asking, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to preach? Am I supposed to be a pastor, minister's wife, a musician, or a Sunday school teacher? What do you want for me, God? What's your plan for me? But you know, it's kind of the wrong question. But you should ask yourself, God, what's your purpose for me today? What's your purpose for me right now, this moment, this evening, this youth meeting? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to encourage? What do you want me to do for you, God? See, it's that daily life, just the simplicity, seeking Him, seeking that purpose, walking in it, walking by leadership. Amen. And then all these things come out of that. There's so much potential in being a son or daughter of God. The challenge is to get you to see it, to get you to realize it, to get you to believe in that for yourself as an individual. And so in closing today, I want to close on this thought. When you think about, the youth from Brother Josh Bennett's heard me say this before, you think about your heroes. Think about when you think of a man of God, you think of a woman of God. There's a name that comes to mind probably. Maybe probably several names. There's names, there's faces, there's people that come to your mind. Somebody you admire, somebody that's been a pillar in your life, somebody that's been a pillar in the church. And there's been a lot of them, friends. We've had some powerful men of God, powerful women of God, great overcomers that in this time that we look up to. And out of respect, I won't name names, but think about some of these elder pastors that we've looked up to for years and years, and they've held this message, and they've taught it right, and they've kept the balance on it, and we are all prospering because of that. And a lot of them are very, very old. In a few more years, they won't be here. In a few more years, your parents won't be here. You know, your pastor might not be here, but if the Lord tarries, you're going to be here. And so God will be looking at you. God will be looking at your purpose, His plan for you and what you are to do. And so when you think about these heroes, you think about how God has used them, what God has done for them, think about yourself now. Those people, that name, that face that came to your mind, you know that name. God knows that name. The devil knows that name. Amen. But who are you? Who are you? Is this okay tonight? Who are you? Who am I? When the hard times come, who are you? Amen. When some of your friends walk away, you lose that support, who are you? Trouble in the church, some in your family going through a hard time, you're going through a hard time, who are you? What kind of life's in you? Amen. What kind of potential's in you? Amen. We must ask the question. Brother Brown said, you that want the Holy Spirit, you that want that experience, not just an emotional excitement, but you want the Holy Ghost, the life, the germ of life inside you. And you want to get rid of that amnesia. That's something like, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. I'm just kind of coasting. Just kind of surviving. Just living day to day. Doing my thing. Amen. But you want to get rid of that. And you can't identify yourself. You don't know where you stand. You don't know what you are. He said, let's get rid of it right now. He said, there's a new birth here for you. A real, genuine new birth. There is a real experience. There is a real purpose. There is a real meaning for all of this. It's not nihilism. It's not nothing. It's not insignificant. Amen. There's meaning. There's purpose. You're part of it. Shall we stand? Amen. We'll bow our heads for a word of prayer, close our eyes. Maybe there's just a young person here. Say, Brother Nathan, God spoke something to me tonight. And I realize that I'm lacking purpose. Maybe you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe you don't, but either way, you don't feel like you're in touch with God's thoughts toward you, His plan for you. You don't really have any vision. The message doesn't really mean much more to you than tradition, something you associate with. And you just want to raise your hand and say, remember me in prayer. I'm looking for my purpose. I'm looking for meaning. I'm looking for truth, reality. Amen. As they play something softly, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, there's something in every one of our hearts, a void, a cry, a desire, Lord, for something real. Lord, we get so busy with this world that we're not conscious of it, Lord. But in the quiet times, in the quiet moments when we're all by ourselves, there's something in our heart crying out, saying, Lord, I want to be part of something. I want to know that there's some meaning to all of this. These things that I'm going through, these trials, I want to know that there's a reason behind it, Lord, that you've got a plan for me. You've got a purpose for me. I want to be in touch with that. Oh, God, I pray in this presence tonight that you would reveal yourself to every heart, Lord, and speak to us as individuals and just unfold it to us, Lord, and in simplicity, in a personal way, Lord, who we are, what we are to be, Lord. We want your will for our life. Lord, these are good young people. These are believing children, Lord, that they want your perfect will for their life. They don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be off, but they want your exactly what you have for them to be fulfilled, Lord. Show us how to do it, Lord. Lead us, Lord. We're not able to lead ourselves. I pray, Father, that every life's decision, every daily thing that they go through, every obstacle, every temptation, every stronghold of the enemy that they encounter, Father, may you lead them through every one of it, Lord. May you bring wisdom to your young people, Father. May you bring revelation. May you make this message something that's alive to them, not just a theory, not just quotes, and not just tradition, but something, Lord, that's real, something that's burning in their heart every day. Lord, something that gives them purpose and gives them meaning like no other truth, no other teaching in this world can do, Father. May we cling to it. May it be more of a reality to us, Father. And Lord, may you position us each one. May you put us in our place, Father. Oh God, may you reveal yourself to us, I pray. Show us who we are, where we have come from, and where we are going, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's sing that song, Jesus Use Me, old chorus. Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Lord, I don't want to just be a consumer. I don't want to just show up to church, and I don't want to just follow tradition. Lord, I want you to use me. I really want your purpose for my life. Amen. Can you give me that key? Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, surely there's a work that I can do. Sing it together as a prayer. Oh, yes, Jesus, use me. Now, oh, sing in Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't miss me.
block it all out. Just say it from your heart. I love you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And I will praise the Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what He has in store, I know that I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise. Sing it again now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what He has. One of the things that we believe in very, very strongly is the sovereignty of God. That is the ability of God to be able to do whatever He wants to do. And I believe that it's important for people to believe and understand that God is sovereign. One of the ways you do that is just like this song says, that I will praise the Lord. And there may be something you're praying for, maybe something you really want. And if God answers that prayer and gives you the very desires of your heart, you know what? It's easy to praise God. But how about when God does not do according to your will? How about when God doesn't perform things the way that maybe you asked Him? And maybe God knows something about your prayer that you don't know. Would you still praise Him anyway? Would you still attribute to Him the sovereignty of God? That God's able to do whatever He wants to do. You know what He's after? He's after people who believe that He's sovereign. And that's really what He wants to have, is a people who are open to His will, even when His will is different than our will. No matter what He has in store, it's no good to say, God, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. You're never going to get anywhere with God. You've got to say, no matter what He had, no matter what tomorrow brings, even if what He brings tomorrow was not the thing I had on the list, it's not the way I prayed, but God does it anyway. We're still going to praise Him. You know what? Because He's God. He's true. He's right. He knows best. He knows the end from the beginning, right? And when you give your life to Him, that's what you're acknowledging. You're acknowledging, Lord, You're the sovereign God. And you know what? No matter what happens, I know that I will praise the Lord. Let's sing it again. Now listen, let's just, for a moment, let's just block everything else out. We'll go in a few minutes and we'll have some fellowship and food and all that. But while you're in the presence of the Lord, just enter in and just let God speak to your heart. A lot of good things have been said tonight. And don't worry about tomorrow and worry about all the other natural things in life. Take advantage of the moment.
I will praise the Lord.
Yes,
I will praise. What tomorrow brings, or what he has in store. Praise. Sing it again now. Make it your anthem. Make it your cry this evening here. I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will. No matter what tomorrow brings, what he has in store, I know that I will praise the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in resting, not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. Once again now, it's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in wandering, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. Be it unto me according to I can stand secure.
Sing it now.
So be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that says, according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
It's kind of a paradox in this life that the thing that we really should do is give away rather than try to hold, try to accumulate things. but rather to give away. There's just something spiritual, there's something Christ-like when you give it all away. You're willing to give it away, willing to let things loose. Like the man who had the pearl of great price, right? He sold everything else in order to buy the field to get the pearl. So when nothing else mattered that much, he just wanted to let it all go. And I believe the Holy Spirit, I believe he loves that when people let go and let him take control. I think that's a good thing.
I give myself away.
I give myself away.
this one.
Away. I wanted to be married by 20, and I wanted to have a degree by 21, and I wanted to be rich by 25 and retire by 30. I got an agenda. Are you willing to give it away? And that's really what the song is asking us here. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans. Let me tell you something. Things are better when we do them God's way. And the thing he wants you to do is just let it go into his hands, and I'll tell you what he knows best. All my dreams, not most of my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. If you need prayer tonight, something you want to let go, something you want to ask God to take off you, you're welcome to come tonight. We'd be glad to pray for you.
Give myself away.
Tonight, the most important challenge for young people is to find out who you are. And I will guarantee you, it's not learned. You're never going to find the right book that tells you, outside of the Bible. You're not going to find it on a search program. You're not going to find it by someone else telling you. It's going to come and become a reality by an encounter with God. There's nothing that replaces an encounter with God. Nothing that replaces a new birth. And I will tell you something that you can hear about it. You can hear lots about it and lots of good things like were said tonight about it. But it's like Billy Sunday once said about dynamite. He said, a spark will teach you more about dynamite than a library full of books about dynamite. A spark will teach you more about dynamite than a library full of books about dynamite. Because it's dynamite in action when you get a spark attached to it, right? And when you have an encounter with God, it's God in action. Because the whole purpose is for you to experience God in you. And it's not a theory. It's not a thought. It's not just a doctrine that we hold dear to. It is a reality. And the reality comes from an encounter with God. And I will tell you something. It brings great peace, like he said tonight. It brings a peace that passes understanding. And it brings a peace that never leaves you. It never leaves you nor forsakes you. It's a wonderful thing. I bless your name.
I bless your name. Let's sing that tonight.
In Mitchell.
In prisoner's chains, with gleaming stripes,
the way
I bless you.
Weeks ago, I gave a little testimony about how I came in a message years ago in the 70s, 1970s. And there was a picture, and I never showed it. I don't think I've ever showed it, but it was just a picture of me in Afghanistan. And I was walking across the flat. And it was just a great big open area. It was just a flat, flat place. And I remember that day very well. We had been through Kabul. And we were poisoned there because they were against foreigners and so forth. And I remember feeling really sick. And I didn't know that somebody was photographing me, but they just snapped a shot of me walking out on the plains. And I remember specifically, and I looked back, I walked so far that I looked back and I couldn't see anybody. And I laid down on the ground. And I was looking up at the sky. It was just me. And it was one of those, super clear nights where all of these stars were out. I was a sinner, okay? long hair, drugs, the whole nine yards, and didn't know God, didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about the message or anything about anything at all. And I laid down on my back, and I was looking up at the sky, and I was feeling sick, and I thought I was going to die. And I thought to myself, if I died here, if my life ended right here, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter at all. No one would know. It wouldn't matter at all because my life really doesn't count for anything. And I felt bad about that. I felt that my life didn't count for anything. And it didn't matter. And it didn't matter if I died. No one would really care. I didn't have anybody depending on me. And, had some little bit of family, but they were a long, long way away. And I just thought how sad that is to be in a place in life where, your life doesn't matter. And it would have been just as good to me to end it right there. But I didn't know what God knew. I didn't know what He knew about me. I didn't know what my future held because we're not allowed to know the future. We only know the present and the past, right? And I didn't know what God had in store. He had all kinds of things in store. And He had all kinds of plans and all kinds of things and all kinds of people for me to meet and places to go and things to say and all the rest of it. And even though that was something I thought of back there, that's not what He thought. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? The Bible says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And you know what? I'm glad God gets His way. I'm glad He has His way. I'm glad we don't get our way because we can really wish and want for the wrong thing. And as with our theme tonight, I just think it's a great thing just to let it slide into His hands. And just let Him take your life and just say, Lord, it's yours. I give it to you. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. Let's sing that little chorus again, if you don't mind. Let's just play it again here. I have a Father, and He calls me His own. And He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Let's sing it one more time.
I have a Father.
Again now, He knows my name.
Yes, He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when
such a nice atmosphere in here. It sounds so nice when you sing. I don't want to leave, but we're going to just dismiss you and have a word of prayer this evening, and we have a little refreshment, a little time fellowship afterwards planned, and we're just appreciative of you coming tonight and being here. But Nathan, we're just honored to have you with us, and we appreciate all that's been said and the sacrifice of coming so far to be with us this evening here. And may the Lord richly bless him. He's going to be ministering in the morning, and we're looking forward to that as well. Let's sing that little chorus, I Feel Like Going On. Leave it in this skeleton key there.
I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Trials come on every hand.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to come into your presence, Lord, and to be challenged by the simple question, three words, that just ring in our ears, Lord, who am I? And Lord, may every believer here tonight, may we come to terms with that question. And may we be able to answer confidently, strongly, boldly, we are the people of God. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. And we are members of the bride of Jesus Christ, and we're on our way to glory. And we believe, Lord, this message has come to receive us, to summon us, and to challenge us, Lord, to recognize our true identity. Father God, I just ask and pray now that you would just continue to deal with every heart. Lord, these times are good. Good for us to be able to sit in your presence and be able to worship you in spirit and in truth and in peace and tranquility. And to worship you, Lord, without distraction. And to worship you, Lord, in a way that I believe is pleasing unto you. And Father, I pray now you take their lives and take our lives. And Lord, may you just receive us as a sacrifice as we just surrender ourselves to you, Lord. There's many things, Lord, that we would love to sit down and talk to you about. Many things we'd love to lay at your feet. But Lord, I believe that you understand the cry of our heart. And so, Lord, we just humbly say that, Lord, just deal with us according to your mercy, not according to your judgment, according to your mercy, Lord, and just continue to lead us and guide us in your perfect will. That's what we pray for. We thank you for all these that have come, Lord, and ministry that ministers to our hearts. We give you, Lord, ourselves afresh. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. Sing it as you go tonight. I feel like going on. Though trials come, they come on every hand. I feel like going on. Yes, I feel.